What is the best movie of all time? Like the number one movie. Think about it. Do you think we'd agree? No, all right. Because everyone fights over what's number one movie, there's a million. Okay, what's the best book of all time? Could you pick just one best book other than the Bible? Because I know you're in church and you're all going to be like, the Bible. But like non-Bible, what book is the best book? All right, I'll ask people that question. What's your favorite movie? It's like, oh, I have such a hard time. Or what's your favorite book? I don't like to read is what most people say nowadays. Or they have trouble picking. Okay, what's the best hamburger? Okay, there's a few, and you go back and forth. Who's the best singer or band? Number one of all time. Who is it? Okay, we fight about all this stuff. Who's the best quarterback?
Not Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, obviously. I know we have a Green Bay Packer fan here and his son over there calling out other stuff. But even that, we argue and who's first place? And it's constantly changing and someone gets the first place and maybe everyone's like, okay, that guy's first place or that lady's first place. But then you know someone's going to come and replace them. Do you realize how often we're talking about who's in first place in your own life? Like day to day, do you realize how often you're thinking about who's in first? Who's the best here? Who gets to be first? And that's a question even you may not realize it, but consciously or subconsciously, you're wondering about for your own life. Who's first and who comes in first in my life? Is it me? Is it my spouse? Are they the one who completes me? Right? Is it the kids? Is it your friends? Who comes in first? And honestly, it probably changes around from day to day. Who comes in first in your life? And in the end, who gets the nod for, yep, that person all time in my life, that person's the first place person? How do you know? How do you know who is coming first in your life? Or if it's not a who, what is coming first in your life? Three simple ways. You already know this, but let me just throw it out there for you. One is you look at your calendar and you say, okay, just think about this past week and where your time went. Based on where your time went, who was in first place in your life this past week? Just think through. Who was in first place? Who was the leader in your life this past week based on where your time went? Second one, think about is your money. Okay, so think about where you spent money this past week. What does that say about who or what is in first place in your life? Because your time and your money are two of the resources you and I most identify with, right? A third one, I would say, is your daydreams, the things you think about and wonder about. What have you been daydreaming about? I've been daydreaming about a pickup truck. I'd really like to get a pickup truck. I'm not going to get a pickup truck. I can't get a pickup truck. But boy, I'd like to get a pickup truck. And I know I've spent a lot of time thinking about and looking online and, you know, at used cars and everything. Oh, you know, I can get a pickup truck. That would be so cool. I could do so many things. I'd have so many friends if I had a pickup truck. But you start thinking, okay, where did you spend that time? Where were your daydreams going this past week? You look at those things and you say, okay, that's going to start to give you a picture of who actually or what actually is in first place in your life. Why do they come first? Whoever that is, as you're thinking about it right now, you've probably started to form a picture. Why is that person first? Why is that thing first? Why do they deserve to be first? And then hear this. Jesus demands to be first in your life. He doesn't ask, hey, could I please maybe be first? He demands to be first in your life, in my life. Listen to what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 10, he says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever doesn't take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus demands to be first in our lives. Well, who is Jesus to make that claim on you and me? Who is Jesus that he should be able to make that claim that he is first in our lives, that he comes first? Why should Jesus come first in your life and in my life? And what I'm trying to do with this series over these weeks is give us the why behind the life we live as Christians, the why that stands behind the way we think and act as followers of Jesus. Why does Jesus come first in our lives? And look, if the only reason or if the main reason why Jesus comes first in your life is, because Jesus is the one who saves me. Well, then I think if you think about that for a moment, what you'll realize is you're still first. Because the only reason Jesus has a place is because of what he's done for you. So if it's only because, well, Jesus saved me so he gets to be first, then really you're still first and you're just liking Jesus because of what he did for you. So there's got to be more to it than just, oh, he saved me so he gets to come first or I'll make him first. Why does Jesus come first? Why do we live the lives we live? You read through the Bible, you read through the letter Paul's written here, and this call to be forgiving, to be willing to suffer for others and sacrifice for others, to be generous, to run away from temptation, to live lives that are holy and pure, to spurn and shun different things that everyone else thinks is fine. And you and I say, no, I'm not going to live that way. To not hold grudges. All these things that as followers of Jesus, we say, I'm not going to live that way. I'm not going to live just to satisfy what I want and my appetites. Why would we do that for Jesus? And the answer to why is simply because of who Jesus is. Not merely just what he did for me, but it's because of who he is. And look, if you're not a Christian here this morning, if you're not a follower of Jesus and you came in here visiting, check it out and see what was going on, maybe these messages will help you understand why Christians put Jesus first, why Jesus is so important, why church, real church, is about Jesus. It's not about a good community social club. It's about Jesus. And if it's not about Jesus, run away, find another church. Right? So maybe if you're not a Christian, and these messages will help you kind of begin to see why are we so crazy about Jesus and focused on Jesus. And if you are a Christian, then this is about keeping that why sharply in focus. Because the longer we're Christians, what I see happen to us sometimes is the why starts to get a little blurry and a little out of focus. And we start to forget about because who Jesus is as the why behind everything we do. And the why behind everything we do begins to become more like, well, because this is what I've done for the last 5 years, or what I've done for the last 10 years, or 20 or 30 years, or this is what my parents did, and now it's what I do. And it just begins to become not so much I do this because of who Jesus is, but this is what I do because, well, this is who I am. And once you get there, you're in a dangerous place where you have a faith that's kind of a pseudo faith. It's not really about Jesus anymore. It's just about you being in a rut. A Christian rut, which is, you know, maybe the best kind of rut to be in, but also maybe a really dangerous rut to be in. If you're in that Christian rut and you've lost real focus on who Jesus is, and if that's not why you're doing everything you're doing, because of who Jesus is, then we need to regain that focus and get it sharp. And hopefully these weeks will be about gaining that focus. Why should Jesus come first in our life? And to answer that, we're looking at what is probably one of the very first songs of the church back in Colossians chapter 1. And the whole song, it's in your bulletin. You can see it. We're going to focus on part of it today. This is a song that Paul included in this letter. It may be original to him. We're not sure if he's quoting it or adapting it. But he sent it to these young Christians because he wanted them to have a way to remember why. Why is Jesus first in our lives? Why do we put Jesus first and live for him first? And this song contains a few answers. We're highlighting one each week. Last week, the answer it highlighted was, Jesus is God. When you look at Jesus, you're looking at God. So that was the first part. Here's the next part. So look at Colossians chapter 1, starting halfway through verse 15. says Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, kind of as a side note, bonus part here. Before we jump into the answer about why Jesus or who is Jesus, I want to deal with some confusion that happens because of what he says there at the end of verse 15. Because some of you, maybe if you ever had a Jehovah's Witness come to your door, knock on the door, and talk to you about, well, Jesus is just like us. He was, you know, created just like us. And they'll turn to this verse and say, look at this verse. It says, Jesus is the firstborn. He's born just like you and me. So he's part of creation, they'll tell you. And when you can let them know, if you're sitting down and talking with them and having coffee, well, you can point out to them, just so we're clear about what Paul means by firstborn here. One, Paul doesn't say Jesus is the firstborn of creation or in creation. He's the firstborn over all creation, and that really matters. Because the next thing Paul's about to say is going to clarify it even more. He's the firstborn over creation. Second thing I would say to them is remember this. When Paul uses the word firstborn, you and I think of like birth order only. But it had so much more meaning in Paul's day. In Paul's day, to be firstborn, it's a title. It's a title of authority, right? And so the firstborn has authority over all of the siblings. All who come after the firstborn, that the firstborn is a title of authority. And Jesus is the one who made it possible for you and I to be adopted as sons and daughters. So it's a fitting title to give to Jesus to call him firstborn. In other words, ruler over all of us who come after. Third thing, and this is kind of a little bit of a subtle thing that you know, you're not going to notice, but I'll explain it to you. Paul is playing with the meanings of the Hebrew word head. You know how the word head can have multiple definitions, right? It can mean the source, like of a river, the head of a river. It could mean the leader of an organization. They're the head of that, you know, company. It could mean the tip of something, like the head of a pimple. Oh, sorry, that's gross. It could also, of course, mean the wooden thing on top of your shoulders, right? It has many different meanings, this word head. And what Paul is doing is, in Hebrew, the word head has multiple different meanings. And he's writing this in Greek, so he's using different Greek words to play with the different meanings of the word head. And so as you read through this passage we're looking at these few weeks, you know, he's saying firstborn, the beginning, the supreme one, ruler. He's using all these different types of meanings, all just pointing to and playing with this one word head to show that Jesus is the one over it all, that Jesus is the authority over it all. And then the very next thing Paul says, by way of explanation, what here Jesus is firstborn over all creation. And then he says, explains it. Here's what I mean by that. And that's going to show us, because what he's going to say is, everything was made through Jesus and by Jesus and for Jesus. And that takes us to really the first thing we should know about Jesus. The first reason Jesus should come first in our lives, verse 16. In him, all things were created. In the end of that verse, all things have been created through him. Listen, Jesus should be first in our lives because all things exist through Jesus. Jesus comes first. I want to read you the opening of the book of Genesis. And some of you have already started reading this past week in your life groups. I want to read you what it says about the beginning of God's creating and bringing order to all things here. And then read you some other passages from the New Testament. And I want you to compare them as we read them and try and hold them all in your mind. They're on the screen. They're in the app. You can follow along. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God spoke and said. Now listen to what John writes. John, one of the disciples of Jesus. Listen to how he starts his gospel, his account of Jesus' life. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He's deliberately echoing Genesis, pointing out that whole, and God spoke. He's saying, yeah, the word through whom God spoke is the Son. And he's saying, that's Jesus. With all conviction, he's like, we know that is Jesus. Jesus is the one through whom all things were created. And then he goes on and says, verse 14, the word became flesh and dwelled among us. And we've seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And verse 18, no one's ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. So very clearly, John is saying Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. He is the one through whom all things were created. So there you have in Genesis, God Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit hovering over the chaos. God the Father speaking, sending out his word. Jesus, through whom all things come into order, find purpose and function and being and existence in and through Jesus. And then there's a letter written to Christians scattered everywhere. The letter is called Hebrews in the New Testament. Listen to how it starts. It says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed to be the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. There is this conviction that Christians had, followers of Jesus had, right from the very beginning, that Jesus took first place in their lives. And what made them willing to endure persecution, and what made them so effective at spreading the gospel and sharing it and growing God's kingdom, was their conviction that Jesus had every right to claim first place in their lives because they believed Jesus is the one through whom all things exist, that Jesus is the one through whom all things were created. Well, what do you think convinced them that Jesus is the one through whom all things were created, that all things are made through him? And John says it, and throughout the New Testament, the echoes say, because we saw Jesus. Because we saw him turn water into wine. Because we saw him walk on water. Because we saw him speak to a storm and it stopped. Because we saw him walk up to blind men and touch them and they walked away able to see. Because we saw him stoop down to lame people and heal them and they get up and they jump around and walk. Because we saw him walk up to a dead boy next to his mom and touch that boy, and that boy got up and lived again. Because we saw him go to his friend Lazarus, who had died and was buried in a tomb for days, and call him out, and Lazarus came out and rose again. We saw Jesus do all these things. Of course he has power over creation. He is the one through whom all things are made. And what's more than that, we saw Jesus himself die, be buried, and rise from the dead. Of course he has first place in our lives. Of course he is the one through whom all things were made. Look at the power he has over all creation. They had no doubts because they had seen Jesus. And when you have that sharply focused, that truth sharply focused in your mind, that's who Jesus is, the one through whom all things exist, that brings everything else in your life into perspective and helps you see why Jesus belongs first, and not you, and not anyone else, but only him, because he's the one who gave you existence. And when we forget that, and when that gets blurry, that's when you and I crawl up, kind of push Jesus aside, and try to pretend, no, it's all about me. And that's when our lives begin to spin out of control and descend into chaos, back to the darkness, and we lose the life that Jesus came to bring us. All things exist through Jesus. But not only that, also this, he says, all things exist for Jesus. He tells them, all things exist through him, and they were made for him, which is tough. I mean, come on. You mean it's not for me? Everything exists. When I'm driving through traffic, why do I get angry? Because I think those traffic lights exist for me. And they should change for me. I think the drivers should drive in certain ways for me. I think your friends, your family, your dog, your cat, whatever, they should behave in ways you like because they exist for you. And so when your kids don't do what you want them to do, you get angry. Not necessarily because what they did was evil, but because it's inconvenient for you. Because they're supposed to be there for you. And when a friend doesn't do something you were hoping they would do, doesn't ask about something you were hoping they would ask about, or extend themselves in a way you think they should, you're like, oh, I'm so angry. Why are you angry? Because you thought it was all for you. We all think it's all for us. And there's a lot of people who are happy to have Jesus be the one who creates all things and sustains all things. But as soon as you take that next step and say that everything is not only from Jesus, but it's for him, that's where we begin to have trouble. What does it mean? What does it mean that everything exists for Jesus? I was thinking about that, and the story that popped in my head was the time Jesus and his disciples walked into Jerusalem, and there was a man there who was blind. And the disciples assumed, because this man had been blind from the moment he was born not able to see, never seen anything a day in his life. He was born blind. And the disciples assumed, oh, his parents must have done something bad and God's punishing him by making him be born blind. Or maybe he did something wrong in the womb. Like maybe he had a twin and he ate his twin or something. I don't know what a baby could do wrong in the womb. But they're like, so they asked Jesus, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents that caused him to be born blind? And Jesus' answer to them explains to us what it means that everything is created for him, right? Because this is what Jesus says to them. He says, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And then he tells them, we've got to keep working the works of him who sent me while it's day, because night's coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And so this man had gone through life, never seeing, but knowing he was different. His parents telling him, hey, listen, buddy, you're not like all the other kids. And they're trying to explain to him because, you know, we can see. What does seeing mean? Well, you know how you only see darkness? Well, no, what does seeing mean? Like people trying to explain to him, okay, it's really bright out. What do you mean? Like going through life that way and not knowing what he's missing, but knowing he's missing something and wondering all his life, why is my life this way? Why am I different from everybody else? All his life struggling with this, wondering why is this the way I am? And Jesus steps in and says, it is so that Jesus can demonstrate his glory and power in this man's life by giving him sight and healing him and making him whole again. We don't exist for ourselves. We exist for the glory of God. We exist for the glory of Jesus. Your life will be its most full and its most right when you live it to bring glory to Jesus, no matter what you're going through. Because Jesus is supreme and it's all about him. It's all for him. And I know that's a difficult pill to swallow. I know that's not easy to think that everything is about Jesus. So yeah, when you go through a hard time at work tomorrow and someone's giving you a difficult time, you're like, why is this happening to me? Why me? Why me? You got to remember Jesus saying, hey, listen, it's for me. Meaning what? He can shine through you in that moment. Why am I going through this sickness or this illness or this pain or this relationship difficulty? And Jesus says, hey, listen, it's an opportunity. I can shine through you. It's for me. You're for me. I created all things. All things are created for me. And I know that's difficult. I know that's tough to wrestle with, to think my life isn't about me. It's not for me. It's for Jesus. I know that's a difficult pill to swallow until we realize that, yeah, everything is for Jesus, but Jesus is for you. Yeah, everything is for Jesus, but Jesus is for you. And that's what's so amazing. Why would we settle for no, I want it to all be about me when it can all be about Jesus, because it is, but he can be for me. He is for me. And that's what this song is ultimately about. And it's going to get clearer as we go through it each week. It starts with Jesus is supreme. He is God. Everything was made through him and by him. Everything is for him. And it's going to him. But he is for you. That's where this is all going. We're still in the whole Jesus is supreme part. But even here, Paul can't help but slip in something that's going to give you and I some comfort. Because there's a part of you and I that will always resist the idea that life and my life, my existence is for Jesus. There's a part of us that isn't going to want to deal with that because we want it to be for me. But when you and I surrender, that's when we begin to experience that Jesus is for us. And then Paul offers this comfort, letting us know how powerful Jesus is, this one who is for us. He says in verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, Paul's used that phrase a few times. Actually, four times in three sentences, Paul uses the phrase all things. All things, all things, all things, all things. What does he mean, all things? Thankfully, verse 16, he stops and kind of gives us a definition. Here's what I mean by all things. He gives us a glimpse of what's in his mind about the all things. He says, for in him all things were created. And then he goes, things in heaven and things on earth. That means the entire universe. All you can see and all you can't see, all that's been discovered and all that has yet to be discovered, all of it, Jesus holds it together. Then he says, visible and invisible, the things you and I can recognize with our eyes that we see happening around us, and also the things you and I cannot see, both the physical and the spiritual, the tangible and the intangible, Jesus holds it all together. Thrones, powers, rulers, authorities, whether it's human power or superhuman power, right? Whether it's spiritual forces or human powers, Jesus holds it all together. And of course, that includes human powers and authorities that do evil. It includes those who even fight against Jesus and those who try to follow him. Jesus holds it all together. He is before all things. He's created all things. He holds it all together, even those things that resist his purpose, the purpose of bringing him glory. And some of you, as you're reading through Genesis this week and have started this week, you might be wondering, someone even asked me the question last week, well, if Jesus is the creator, then why is there evil? Right? Jesus is good. Creation is good. Why is there evil? Why is everything so messed up? And says, Jesus created all things and gave order and purpose to everything. He put everything in its appropriate place. But he didn't create us to be like dolls that he poses and puts on a shelf, and we sit there until he comes back and repositions us. That's not what he created us to be. He created us to be alive, to be animated, to have life. It's the difference between, you know, have you ever known a kid who's in school and they're doing like a home ec class and they get a fake baby to carry around for a week and it cries and it has to get changed. There's all that stuff that can happen. But it's not real. If you put that thing down, it's going to stay there. But you know what happens with the real child, right? Eventually that child, you put it down and it starts to like roll away and then crawl away, creep away, and then all of a sudden get up and they're running away. Now, you knew they were going to be a pain before you gave birth to them, right? You knew that there were times they were going to frustrate you. You knew there were times they were going to break your heart and hurt you, and they were going to run away from you instead of to you. You knew that was going to happen, but you gave birth anyway because you thought it was worth it. You knew it was worth it. Because you'd rather have a living being who loves you than a fake doll on a shelf. Jesus created us knowing full well that even though he gave us a place and gave us a purpose, we may choose to run away from that purpose. We get a glimpse of this in the book of Jude. The book of Jude, which no one ever reads, it's this last little book just before Revelation. It talks about the angels whom God created also and gave a place to, but they left that place. So he says, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. That even they, Jesus knew I'm going to create and I'm going to put everything in its place and give everything purpose, but it's not all going to stay in that place. It's not all going to live for the purpose I'm giving it. And I'm going to create anyway. It's going to cause me incredible pain and I'm going to create anyway. And they're leaving their place. They're getting out of their places and leaving their purposes and rejecting me. It's going to cause them pain. Of course it will. They're walking away from life, their creator. And you know what? In the end, he's like, I know it's going to cause me pain. It's going to cause me more pain than anyone has ever known or imagined, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because in all of this, and in this wisdom of Jesus that is so far beyond ours, he knew this was the way he was going to work this incredible plan of redemption and salvation and ultimate love. Because he knows where it's all headed. And he knows that this is what it will take to get there. I don't have the answer. You know, you can ask me all day long, why is this? Why? I don't know. I trust Jesus. He knows where we're headed. And I trust him because he's demonstrated that even though he's supreme, even though everything is for him, right? Even though he could do whatever he wants with it because he made it, he's demonstrated powerfully that he is for us. And we know that. Because for all the suffering in the world, no one suffered more than Jesus. He created, he birthed this world knowing full well the pain it would cause him. But Jesus believes it's worth it in order to get to where he's bringing us. Because he can see the end, even though we can't. But if you recognize Jesus as creator and that it's all for him, and you give him that first place, you surrender that first place in your life and trust him, then you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, even though everything's for him, he is for you. Worship team, would you come back? And that's why Jesus should come first in your life. Because even though everything's for him, he's for you. Who else could say that? Who else has the power to be for you? Because of who he is. He is the one through whom everything has existence. The one everything exists for, the one who stretched out his arms on the cross, grabbed hold of it all, even the evil, even the bad, even the absence of good. He's grabbed hold of it all and holds it all together. He holds this chaotic world together, and he's pulling it all together by the power of his love. And he will not let it fall apart. Who else could you possibly want to be in first place in your life than the one who holds all things together? Who else could you possibly even consider for first place in your life than the one who holds it all together? He's the reason you're alive. And listen, if he can hold all things together, then all the stuff falling apart in your life, all the stuff that's got you where you are today right now, you better believe he can hold that together. You better believe he can hold you together. No one else can. You could run to your husband, run to your wife. They can't hold you together. You could run to your best friend. Look, it's great to have people to lean on, but they can't ultimately hold you together. Only Jesus can hold you together because of who he is. So some of you this morning, again, you need to hear that. Whatever you're running to, whatever's first place in your life, whatever you're leaning on to hold you together, it didn't make you. That person didn't create you. Jesus did. And no one has been more for you than Jesus. Would you stand with me? And as we sing these songs, ask Jesus to open your eyes, to bring the reality of who he is just into sharp focus right now so that you can see him and ask him to demonstrate his power in and through your life today. Jesus, you are first.